Are you a fan or a follower? That's what we're going to be struggling with personally and corporately together. We're going to be struggling with what's the difference. And am I a fan of Jesus or a follower of Jesus? What does that look like? That's where we're headed over the next 6 weeks. Ever since I was a teenager, I have been a big fan of the Christian rock group Petra. They are, by the way, the best band that has ever picked up a guitar. I have also been a big fan most of my life of the Dallas Cowboys, I admit. I'm a fan of the Rangers. I'm a big fan of Baylor. I'm a new fan of TCU. Go Frogs. I'm a fan of the West Trojans and the Abbott Panthers. If I asked you in here, if I asked you who was a fan of Jesus, probably most of us would say, yeah, I'm a big fan. But did you know that he never cared about fans? Even when I was beginning to prepare for this series, I caught on quickly, just like you already have, the idea that we don't want to be a fan, that we want to be a follower. We catch on to that pretty quick. But you know what I didn't catch on to until I got into the study is Jesus never even cared about fans. Matter of fact, on more than one occasion, when there was a crowd of fans around, he created a situation in which they would have to say, yes, I'm a follower, or go home. More than once, he found a way to weed out the fans from the followers, to make his crowd smaller, of only those who really wanted to follow. Jesus doesn't really want us to be his fans. He wants us to be completely committed followers. A fan is an enthusiastic admirer. You know, I've just always admired the way Louis can play the drums, the way Greg Volz used to sing lead, and the way John Schlitt took over and started singing lead. I've just always admired those guys in Petra, you know. I've admired people who can play sports, knowing that I couldn't be down there and do what they do. I admire what they do, and it's fun to watch them. It's fun to buy the gear and to sit in the stands and to cheer them on. I'm an enthusiastic admirer of a lot of folks. But a follower is something different, isn't it? A follower is someone who is completely committed. In other words, over these next 6 weeks, we're going to examine our relationships with Christ. Sometimes in relationships, we come to the point where we have to have the DTR talk. You familiar with the DTR talk? Kyle Eidelman is the pastor who put this whole campaign together. And I'm going to let him explain to you the DTR talk.
DTR. Some of you will recognize what those letters stand for. If you're not sure, let me help you out. If you are a young man in a relationship with a young woman, then chances are these letters are enough to strike fear into your heart. You may run away from, postpone, You may dread the DTR talk. Some young men will even terminate a relationship if they feel like the DTR talk is imminent. It is that official talk that takes place in every romantic relationship. Do you know what it stands for, DTR? Define the relationship. You sit down and you decide where things are going. Have things moved from casual to committed? I remember this date I went on in high school. On the very first date, the girl tried to have the DTR talk with me. First date, DTR. I got out of there PDQ. I just ran away.
When I was a college student, I remember one time I had the DTR talk. It was February 8, 1985. We were sitting in my car in the driveway at my mother's house, and we had the DTR talk. We agreed that night, this Baylor girl and I agreed that night that we were not going to date anyone else. We were just going to date each other. And from February 8, 1885, neither of us has dated anyone else. Did I say 18? It feels like it. It feels like it sometimes. This year, we celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. And each year, on February 8, we celebrate the day we had the DTR talk. There comes a time when it's necessary to define the relationship. What does this relationship look like? Who are we together? And where are we headed? I want to encourage you today to have that kind of talk with Jesus. Are you a fan or are you a follower? To help us get started with that, we want to look at Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, a powerful verse that sums up pretty much everything we're going to be talking about these next 6 weeks. Luke 9 and 23. He says, "If anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me." If you want to take the name Christian, he says, if you want to come after me, if you want to be one of mine, here's what it takes. You deny yourself. All of a sudden, your life is not about you anymore. Now your life is about me. If you really want to be one of mine, it starts here, he says. You deny yourself. And then he says, and you take up your cross daily. You say, well, I remember when I was 9 years old, I walked the aisle and I gave my life to Jesus. Preacher told me what to pray and I prayed it, and we even filled out a card, and a little bit later I even got wet. And he says, but if you're really mine, you take up your cross daily. You see, Christianity is not a one-time decision that settles things forever. Christianity is following Christ. Christianity is being His. Real Christianity is discipleship. It is a misunderstanding in the church that you can be saved first and then become a disciple later. True Christianity is discipleship. And so Jesus says, if you want to be one of mine, it takes a whole lot more than showing up. If you want to be one of mine, you deny yourself so that your life is now my life instead of yours. If you want to be one of mine, you take up your cross daily. What does that mean? To take up something means that I have to decide I'm going to do it. It takes a volition. I have to choose that I'm going to do that. He says, take up your cross. You decide every day to sacrifice self. To take up your cross is to put your life on the line, to put yourself on the cross, to decide every single day, this day is about Jesus and not about me. Therefore, I'm going to put me on the cross. I'm going to die today so Jesus can live through me. You see, it's not a one-time thing. On February 8, 1985, Lisa had a pretty good idea that I liked her pretty good. Before too long, I told her I loved her. Now, what if I had never said that again? Or never really showed it to her again? Well, Lisa, come on. Back in 1985, I told you. I thought we got that settled. Didn't we agree we was a thing? That's not the way relationships work. That might be the way religion works. You can sign up on a dotted line and show up for church. But did you know Jesus never called us to be religious? He never called us to church meetings. He called us to follow, which implies relationship. You see, it's not enough just to get the thing kick-started. It continues daily. You really want to be one of mine, he says? Here's what you do. You deny yourself, you take up your cross, and you follow. Not sit in the stands and clap and yell and be happy for me. Not love the idea that I died for you, but follow. Live my kind of life. Think my kind of thoughts. Use my kind of words. You follow. Jesus calls us to a real discipleship based on a real relationship. And so we have to have that DTR talk. I hope it has already started in your heart or in your mind this morning. Jesus, are we right? Am I right with you? Am I just your fan ready to sit back in the stands and clap? Or am I really following? There are some questions we need to ask in order to help us deal with this. And the first question that we want to ask this morning, why are you here? Why are you here? A few times in Scripture, in the Gospels, a few times Jesus drew a line in the sand to separate fans from followers. Like John 6, if you still have your Bible open in Luke, put a little marker there or put your finger there, whatever. We're going to come back in a minute. But I want you to go to John chapter 6, beginning at the first part of that chapter, verse 1. John chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, or Tiberias, and a great multitude was following him. Because they were seeing the signs which he was performing on those who were sick. You see verse 2? There was a big bunch of people there. A bunch of folks showed up. Why? because they had heard that Jesus was doing some cool stuff. That guy that couldn't walk, now he's walking. That guy that couldn't see, now he can see. That guy that couldn't hear, now he can hear. That guy that had leprosy and had to stay away from us, hey, we got together and played cards last night. He can hang out with us again. He's been cleaned up. This Jesus is amazing. It's incredible what he's been doing. Let's get together. Let's go see this Jesus fella. And so there was a crowd. Verse 2 says the reason that they came was because they had heard about all the signs he was doing, and they wanted to see some more. Fast forward real quick through the story of when he feeds the 5,000. See, the crowd was there because they loved his miracles and his signs and this, so they all showed up. Turns out there were so many that they couldn't feed them all, so you know the story. Little boy brings the fish and the loaves, and Jesus divides it and feeds the 5,000 all over the place. We fast forward past that story, and we jump right on into the next story, and what's happening? Jesus is walking on the water. Jesus walks on the water to his disciples. Amazing stuff is happening as he does all those things. And then we land at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." The first group, they came just to see a show. Now Jesus says, those of you who are still here, you didn't even come to see a show. You just want dinner. The only reason you're here is because I fed you. And you want more food. You see, Jesus is saying, let's look at this, guys. Why did you follow me? Because I did cool stuff. Why did you stay? Because I fed you. Fast forward through his teaching to the people, and land at verse 66. Verse 66. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. As a result of what? As a result of the teaching that we fast-forwarded through, the teaching in which he called them to real discipleship. He called them to self-sacrifice. It is in this teaching that he says, you have to trust in me as the bread of life. You have to follow me. You see what he had done? He had separated the fans from the followers. The fans showed up to see a show. They hung out because they wanted to eat something. But in the end, after he taught them the truth about discipleship, most of them left. And it was just the few who really wanted to follow. I wonder if you and I are in the crowd just because it's the thing to do, and it feels right, it seems good to be a fan. Or are we in the few who really follow? It brings up our second question. Are you all in? Go back to where we were in Luke chapter 9. In Luke 9 at 23. We got to ask this question. Are you all in? In 23, it says, Jesus says to us, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In other words, he says, if this is a real deal, you got to be all in. Deny self. Take up your cross every day. You reach a point where you have to decide, am I going all in or am I folding? Jesus draws the line in the sand, and that's basically what he says. If you're here for the show or the food, go ahead and fold. If you're here to follow, you got to go all in. It's all about a completely committed relationship. I think too often we try to customize Christianity, you know, like we customize a new car. You buy a car, they say, here's the basics. Now, do you also want leather seats? Do you also want air conditioning? Did you really want all four tires? You buy a car, then you got to figure out how to customize. Same thing with a computer. I mean, you can go into Best Buy and pull a computer off the shelf, but it's a whole lot more fun to go on Dell's website and say, all right, I want this kind of memory, and I want that much, and I want this kind of monitor, and I want this, and customize it, build it the way you like. I think that's the way we like to do Christianity. We say, you know what, I'll follow you. I believe, and I'll follow you, but I want to pick and choose the areas in which I follow you. Because you know what? That person treated me so badly, I deserve to hold on to my bitterness. So don't touch my bitterness. I deserve that because that person treated me so badly. Or we say, Jesus, hey, don't forget I'm the one who earned this money. It's my money. I'll follow you when it comes to family and church and spiritual stuff like that. But, hey, money's mine. I got that. We try to customize Christianity. We say, Jesus, I'll let you in these rooms of my house, but that room over yonder, that's mine. And Jesus says, thanks for being a fan. Because a follower denies himself, takes up his cross every day, and follows. When you decide to become a follower of Christ, you go all in. Fans don't really like the idea of going all in. Then there's a third question that we have to ask. And that's simply this: have you made it your own? Have you made it your own? A lot of us started coming to church because mom wanted us to, or because dad said we had to. Some may have started coming to please a girlfriend or a spouse. It's real easy to become a fan that way because you come to please somebody else. And by the way, that's not a terrible way to start at all. You come because you have to, or you come to please somebody. That's a good way to get started. But the problem is, it's real easy to slide into being a fan because you come for that reason, and you kind of start, after a few weeks, you kind of start to get used to the music. And you kind of get used to the routine. And there's some people who sit around you that you like okay. This is not so bad. And so you come and you get comfortable and you're at ease. And sometimes years go by. Maybe you started as a child when mama drug you here. And you've been here for years. And it's just comfortable because this is what you were taught to do. And it's just real easy to become a fan. My question is, have you made it your own? That's when you can cross from fan to follower. Have you made faith your own? Or are you a Christian because grandma was a Christian? Are you here because the family's here? Do you call yourself a Christian because you're not anything else, so you must be? Or have you made it your own? I started out going to church because that's what my family did. I didn't know anything else. It wasn't until a teenager I found out in our family we had a rule. I didn't know until I was a teenager that the rule was you don't have to go to this church, you just got to go to some church. I didn't know any different. I just stayed at the church I was always at. Grew up in church. Went to school about church. Get paid for going to church. Somewhere along the way, I decided I don't do this because Mama made me anymore. Somewhere along the way, I had to decide this is for me. I've made it my own. If you have to talk yourself into it to please somebody, then ask if it's really yours. You have to make faith your own. Jesus isn't looking for a relationship between you and your mom and him. He's not looking for a relationship between you and your wife and him. He's looking for a relationship between you and him. He wants to relate to you. Is faith yours? Luke chapter 14 challenges me. Challenges me at a deep level. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Large crowds, big fan base. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." Golly, how do you deal with that? He says, let's look at relationships and let's have the DTR talk. Because you see, if I'm just a vehicle to please someone else, if I'm just the glue that is put in here for another relationship, then I don't have the relationship I want with you. He says, instead of that, when you compare the love that you have for your mama to the love that you have for me, the love you have for me should so far outweigh the love for mama that it's almost like you hate her. Now, he's not saying you ought to hate your mama. He's saying, by comparison, the love that you have for Christ should so far overshadow any other love that that love looks like hate by comparison. This challenges me. Does it challenge you? Do you love him that much that all other relationships pale in comparison? I want to encourage you and challenge you today. Begin to search your heart so that over the next few weeks you can discover if you're a fan or a follower. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. We thank you for your patience, for your mercy. Lord, we pray that you'll forgive us when we take you for granted and we want to sit on the sidelines and cheer you on as you do your thing. Instead, Lord, help us that we would be completely committed followers. We pray that you would open our hearts and minds this morning to help us deal with these difficult, complex issues. Lord, bring us into a quiet place now where we can have the DTR talk and make sure that we're right with you. We pray your Holy Spirit would minister among us in a powerful way during these moments. And we ask it in Jesus' name.